Hello.
Hello, Max.
How are you, Mel?
I'm very well, thanks. How are you doing?
Fantastic.
Good. It's wonderful to finally speak to you. You're someone I think I've been trying to get to speak to for almost 2 years now, and I've just actually not gotten the chance. So thank you very much for giving me your time. First of all, how did you get into alternative media? You've been putting out some wonderful stuff over the years, and I really want to know a little bit more how you came to be on this journey communicating this message.
Well, it's been a lifetime mission for me, really. I've been doing it for a very long time. I just wasn't doing it online for a very long time. And when I did start doing it online, I was sort of basically in chat rooms and stuff until I discovered YouTube, and that's what got me the job on the radio in the United States and stuff that I currently do. So, yeah, it was not a mistake, really. It just kind of happened. I never really planned on it, but it just happened. I mean, I put out a slideshow. I discovered YouTube, and I saw that there was this huge truth movement on YouTube. I thought there was a place where high school kids uploaded their party videos, you know. That's what I thought it was. It's just, okay, what's this all about? You know, and you go to the YouTube front page, and there's all these ridiculous videos, you know. So that's where you see that.
Yeah.
That's your introduction to YouTube, you know.
Yeah.
But then someone sent me a video on the Bali bombing, and I saw it, and I went, wow, this is just a slideshow someone's put together with them speaking over it. I thought, I can do that. I've got all this information. I can do that. So I put out a slideshow. I put out a video called The Big Picture. You know, I'm kind of creative. I've always been a musician. I've always been an artist, and so I'm a kind of a creative person. So I figured I'd make it look like a movie. I'd present it like it was an actual movie, put titles on it, put credits at the end and the whole thing. You know, it was a fun project. And I figured it was going to take me at least an hour and a half to say what I wanted to say. So that's 90 minutes. I could only upload 10-minute videos at the time, so it turned out to be 9 parts. I uploaded 5 parts and kind of lost interest. And then got all these emails from people, you know, saying, well, where's the rest of it? Where's the rest of it? So I finished it. And because of that film, the response that it got, I decided, well, I'd make a couple more. So I made 2 short half-hour videos, one called New World Order, The Final Solution, and one called Fight the New World Order and Global Noncompliance. And that last one went really viral. It just went everywhere. And I got offered a job as an American radio host, and so I've been doing that ever since. It was, all a mistake, really.
That's interesting. You know, I think it's your particular story has some similar aspects to ours in a way, and that almost is a kind of mistake how we ended up. And really, the discovery of the University of YouTube, I tell you, what a blessing that has been to us, because I have learned so much from it and also been able to create so much through it.
Well, yeah, it's the new media. It has become the new media. And even I was watching a weather report today online of the cyclone that's currently happening in Australia, in Western Australia. It was on the ABC, website, because I don't have a television. And they were referencing information from YouTube users. Some of the video footage they had from the film was YouTube users. And you see news shows that gain ratings by having YouTube users as guests on their shows. So YouTube has really created a big stir, and it's become the alternate media. And any information you want to find, you'll find it all on YouTube, and you'll find all different versions, and you'll find the whole picture that you don't get on mainstream television. So it's become a very, very powerful medium.
Okay. So you've been looking at this for how many years now? When did you sort of get started with all this?
Well, it was a long adventure for me. I started walking around when I was 4 years old. I couldn't figure out why we had to pay for land when I was 4. And I thought, this is all messed up. I used to walk around when I was a kid thinking, this is all messed up. And then I started researching the pyramids and stuff when I was 8. I mean, I looked at the pyramids, and pyramids and dinosaurs. I wanted to be an archaeologist when I was a kid. I wanted to be an archaeologist or anthropologist or something like that, a paleontologist. I was right into dinosaurs and ancient buildings, you know. And I saw a picture of the pyramids, and my mum said, look, they don't know how they built these. And I thought, that's pretty ordinary. It's just a pyramid. I went outside and built one in the sand pit, you know. And then I really started looking into it when I could read properly. And I found out that it was a pretty remarkable thing. So I started researching ancient history from a very young age. And then I started realizing that everything they've told us, everything they're teaching me in school is all wrong. So I started questioning my teachers. So I got in a lot of trouble with that. I couldn't figure out why, because I'd been reading all this interesting stuff. And I'm a kid, and I thought, well, maybe you guys haven't read this. Maybe you don't know this. So I was kind of trying to help. But I got very ostracized because of it, and I got disciplined because of it. And I began to think, well, why would they hide this? So again, you know, the research into ancient history starts reading, you start researching cover-ups, because why would they be covering this up? You get into cover-ups, you start looking at stuff like UFOs and all this sort of stuff, and then you get into conspiracy theories, and it all does this big circle and goes back to ancient history, and you think, okay, the world is not the way they tell us it is at all. And I knew this when I was 4 years old, so there must be something to it. And so I just sort of continued this research. It was always a hobby for me, because I was a musician for pretty well all my life. And so I got to live on the outside of society, and I got to travel a lot. I got to look in libraries and go to different places and talk to different people. And I was always doing this research on the side just as a hobby, you know. So it was just kind of a natural progression, really, that I ended up doing what I'm doing. You know, when it got to the stage, like when 9/11 happened, I thought, well, okay, this is getting really serious. I mean, this is obviously a staged event. You can tell just by the way the buildings came down, this is something really, really wrong with the woods. And this is the big event we've been waiting for, they've been talking about, this secret society that we keep hearing about, the Illuminati, blah, blah. You know, and I thought, well, this is, it's gotten serious. So the research has now got to become the main focus, because I've got a son and I want my son to have a viable world. And it looks like what we're going to see from this point is a lockdown, a police state, and a big depopulation program. And what we've seen since 2001 has just been phenomenal. I mean, with GMOs and chemtrails and the wars and the police state, I mean, it's unbelievable. Just leapfrogging over itself. So I was absolutely right that it was now the time to act. And I kind of felt a little bit guilty that I'd spent so much time viewing this stuff as a hobby, when really it was a very, very important issue. And it just became important for me. I thought, you know, I can't know what I know and be able to communicate it to people, because I had a lot of really good feedback from the people around me who used to always come to me to ask me what was going to happen next, you know. And so I thought, well, you know, it's kind of irresponsible of me to not be telling people about it. And so I started going to chat rooms and doing all this sort of stuff and trying to wake people up. And then, like I said, I discovered YouTube, made the video show, and bang, got offered the job as the radio host. And I kind of did that as well, almost through a meditative sort of approach, because I realized that once I discovered YouTube and I made the films, I thought, I should be on the radio telling this to people all the time. I should be there telling people what's going on and waking them up to what's going on. And so I put myself in the energetic state where I was a radio host and I was talking to the world. And I put myself in that meditative, energetic state where I was giving thanks for it already been answered. You know, the way an Indian does a rain dance, when they feel the rain, you know, if they want rain, they'll feel the rain on their body. They'll put themselves in the energetic state where they're standing in the rain. They don't pray for rain. They put themselves in the state where they're standing in the rain, and that attracts the rain. So I did that approach with it. I put myself in the energetic state where I was a radio host and I was speaking to the world. And within a month or 6 weeks, I got a job as a radio host, just offered to me out of the blue. I wanted to be a radio host to get this information out, but I didn't know how to go about it. So I was just sitting there. I was chatting on YouTube. I was posting my clips. That was it. I didn't even know internet radio existed. I was thinking real radio, you know. And then suddenly I get offered this job. I get contacted by a radio announcer in, I think he was in Kansas. His name was Big John Lipscomb. And he contacted me, said he'd shown the big picture to his neighbours and it had woken him up. And he'd been trying to wake this guy up for 5 years and nothing had worked. He showed him my film and it woke him up. So he contacted me and said he'd like to have me on his show. So he got the show. And this was actually a radio station. It wasn't internet radio. I mean, it's on the internet, but it's an actual radio station that goes out across America. You can tune in on your dial. And they offered me this interview. I did it and they liked it. So they got me back on the next month. And then I became a regular every week. And then the station offered me my own show, so I've been doing that ever since. It was quite remarkable, really.
Wow, amazing. That is incredible. So you enjoy what you do there, Max?
Well, yeah, I do. I mean, I like to be a positive voice. I hope that I'm a positive voice. I like to try to offer encouragement to people. I think there's a lot of people out there screaming fear. And yes. Sure, we do have a lot to be fearful of. There's a big problem we've got with the world, but I really do see it all as opportunity. And, you know, I think it's a huge opportunity for us. I think people need to see the opportunities that are being provided by all of this, because otherwise they will move into fear, we'll have violent revolution, we'll have confrontation, we'll have a police state. I think it's all a huge opportunity. So I do like what I do, but I look forward to the time when I don't have to do it. Mm-hmm. I'd much prefer to walk into the forest and build myself a house and shut down and unplug and not have to be on the internet all the time telling people to wake up.
Sure, I hear you.
So, I do enjoy the response I get from people. It's really gratifying to hear the positive feedback I get, because I do get a lot of feedback from people. And if you're listening out there and you've written to me, I'm sorry I don't get time to answer all the emails. It's really hard for me to do. There's so many of them. But, you know, I like to, you know, think or hope that I encourage people to find themselves and to act and to realise that we can change things if we simply find ourselves. You know, I use a saying on the show, in Lakesh, which means I'm another yourself. You know, I believe that that's what people need to understand, is the essence of themselves, the spark of themselves, the sentience, and to see that in everybody else and to realise that we're all in this together. We're all simply different perspectives, different aspects of the same thing. And we could change reality and make it whatever we want in 3 seconds. I mean, we can create matter by observing it. So I think we're capable of pretty well anything. And I think that the more negative it gets, the more opportunities we're being given to wake up to ourselves. So that's what I try to provide people with the shows. I just think it's important to have some balance. I think it's important to see the opportunities that all the negative stuff provides for us. Otherwise, we're going to go down that path into fear. We're going to lapse into this subculture of fear, which is kind of what we're in now. I mean, we're under a spell. We're in a subculture of fear. It literally is a matrix that we're living in. You know, mind control, the whole world, or not the whole world. There's still native cultures out there that still know what's going on, but we're getting close, and I think we have to wake up to it. I think now's the time for change, and so that's why I do what I do. That's why you do what you do, I'm sure, as
Absolutely.
Well.
Absolutely. Speaking of fear, do you think, I mean, working and doing what you do within the alternative media, I mean, I must tell you, one of the things I love doing is interviewing journalists like yourself, like Lisa. The first journalist I ever properly interviewed in this realm was, in fact, Bill Ryan. That was 3 or 4 years ago. But for me, I think that people like yourselves have such a broad perspective of so many different elements within the alternative media. Do you think there is a controlled opposition element who's deliberately putting out fear, you know, within this alternative media? Is everybody that we come across who's putting out stuff on YouTube through alternative means to be trusted?
Look, I think there is definitely controlled opposition, absolutely. But a lot of new people that come out, I mean, you've got to understand, people see this, they see that there is a problem, and it's overwhelming. I mean, if you're someone who just woke up to this, I can understand how absolutely overwhelming it is.
Yeah.
I mean, the first thing would be amazement. That's the first thing. You wake up to this and you're amazed that you didn't see it before because it's so obvious. And you get excited about it. You start trying to tell your friends and they won't listen to you. They think you're a nut. You're a conspiracy theorist. And then you start looking at more and more stuff and you think, oh my God, this is huge. And nobody's listening. Nobody cares. But it's so dangerous. Look where we're going, and it's so obvious. And then you move into fear, and you go into that state. Then you go into this state of just hopelessness. People mm-hmm. aren't waking up, and this is so important. And so a lot of people just start posting, and they start opening up their own news sites, and they start trying to wake people up to the fact that it's all messed up. You know, so, I mean, there's a lot of people that are led down that path. But again, I don't think that they're looking at the whole picture, because it's all opportunity. You know, if it wasn't this messed up, then you wouldn't have the opportunity to fix it. And that's what we've got. We've got the opportunity to fix it, because never before in history has the workings of this mechanism been so bare. Thanks to the internet, never before has it been so bare. We can all see what's going on now. And it's so ridiculously obvious that we actually have the opportunity to fix it. But yeah, there is controlled opposition, and of course there is. There has to be. Because a lot of it is just screaming fear. You know, listen to the people that are talking and see where they're actually offering new solutions. You know, they might be coming across as a news service, and they're telling you all this stuff, but they're not putting any little jokes on it, anything sarcastic. It's just fear, 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 problem, 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 but they're not giving you any solutions. You know, even your fine alternative news sites, and they'll write out something and then they'll cross words out and they'll put new words there and stuff. And it's kind of funny the way they do it. This is what they say, but this is what they actually mean, you know. And they put that sort of a sarcastic slant on it, and it's empowering. Makes you laugh a little bit at it. Makes you see how serious it is, but it shows you how you're being manipulated. There's people like that that do stuff like that, and that's great. But there's people who just give you fear. We've got so many problems. This is what they're doing. This is what they're doing. This is what they're doing. And then they leave you, and you're in fear. I've seen some great conspiracy movies that have been fantastic that give you the whole story and tell you this diabolical plan that's coming. But then at the end of the movie, it just finishes, and you go, well, now I know all this. What do I do? What do I do about it? You've just left me in this state where I feel completely in fear and completely disempowered. What do I do from this point forward? There's a lot of films that do that. And so you've got to wonder, you know, are these people, are they controlled opposition? Because that's the way controlled opposition works. You know, you've got to, if you're going to present a problem to people, you've got to at least offer suggestions of what the solution might be, even if you don't know. Because, I mean, we've only got our individual perspective. And you might see a solution in your eyes. Hey, put it out there. See if someone else agrees with it. Maybe we can do this. If we all think about it together, I'm sure we can come up with a solution. And that's what I try to do. I think, personally, the solution for it is for us to find ourselves, to realise that this whole system's fiction. We made it all up. It don't exist on paper. And as soon as we find ourselves and start respecting ourselves in Lakesh, as I say on every radio show, and realise that that essence of you is the same as the essence of me, the only thing that makes you different from me is your perspective of reality. You know, that's what makes us all so unique. So we can be one. We can be one because the essence of us is the same. It all comes from the same place. But we can be completely unique because we have a completely unique perspective. Once we realise this, and we start honouring each other and realising this whole system just exists on paper anyway, then we can change reality. So that's the way I look at it. And but that's just my solution. That's just the way I look at it. If I'm wrong, well, hey, offer me your solution. Let's work together on this, you know. But you've got people out there that won't do that. They won't offer any solution at all. They'll say, go and buy ammo and guns and barricade your house up and get ready for the war, you know. Get ready for civil war. We'll take these people on. Let's take to the streets with guns. Go march in the street, you know. Go occupy Wall Street. You don't have to occupy Wall Street. We already occupy the entire planet, but we don't occupy ourselves. That's the problem. And that's my perspective on it as well, you know.
Indeed. You'd mentioned something very interesting there, which I can tell, you know, it's interesting when I interview people, I can tell just sort of how advanced or how aware their awareness is. And yours definitely is quite, in terms of you understand that the darkness serves a purpose to evolve us.
Oh, absolutely. Of course. I mean, every action institutes an equal and opposite reaction. Of course it does.
Okay. So you were talking about us existing only on paper. You put out a lovely interview recently with the discussion panel from OPPT, and I'm very interested to get your perspective. Obviously, there's a lot going around. There's a lot of people trying to debunk this. You're an intelligent man and definitely very aware. What do you foresee and how do you see it?
Look, you know, the heart of the OPPT is the UCC filing that says that if you be, then you are answerable only to the Creator. Okay, now, people may look at this and you know, all the other parts of it, it's interesting, all the filings that they went to get to that filing and all this sort of stuff, interesting, you know, interesting stuff. I've heard a lot of discussion about it, I've heard a lot of opinions offered about it, but I haven't heard anybody debunk that filing. And the essence of this, really, that I see, and I, look, I could be wrong, this is just my idea, but I mean, the essence of this is that it's all a corporate system. Every government is a corporate system. I've said on so many radio shows, and I've done films about it, where I've said that one of the real problems that we face is that the entire human experience has been reduced to commerce. So it's all commerce. You go to a magistrate's court, it's a commercial court, get a parking ticket, it's a commercial activity. Everything is commerce. And so the interesting thing with this is that all commerce comes under the Uniform Commercial Code. And if our governments are commerce, and every time a police officer comes and gives you a fine, it's commerce. The government gives you a fine because you've stepped outside one of their rules. This is commerce. It's all commerce. And so that's the system that controls us. Okay, so that is the all run by the Uniform Commercial Code, which controls every single aspect of all commercial activity on this planet. If countries want to interact with each other, they have to comply with the Uniform Commercial Code. It's an American code, but it doesn't matter. Everybody performs commerce, so it's all under this code. So what I see the OPPT has done is they've made this filing under UCC. So people say, oh, they've used the UCC system, blah, 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 blah. They're enslaving you to UCC. No, they're not. What they've done is they've made this filing to say, well, if you are alive, then you are no longer subservient to anything without a contract, basically, because you're answerable only to the Creator, whatever you perceive the Creator to be. And if you are going to come along and enforce your system upon me and give me a fine, give me anything like this, all this comes under UCC. So that's fine. Okay, if you're going to come and give me a fine, give me a parking ticket, whatever, say you have jurisdiction over me, whatever, happy to agree. All you have to do is debunk this filing. You have to rebut this filing that says, under your UCC filing, this filed under UCC, you have to debunk this filing that says that I'm answerable only to the Creator, because if you're going to come and use me for commerce and extract money from me, you're claiming you are a higher authority than my Creator, or you're claiming you created me. So you need to debunk this filing, because if you're going to use that UCC system against me, you can't do that while this filing stands. So that's what I see in it. That's really the heart of it. And to me, it makes sense. That one particular aspect makes sense. I've heard a lot of talks about the CVAX. I've heard a lot of talk about digital currency. I've heard a lot of talk about all sorts of aspects that are freaking people out. And like I've seen, I've had trepidations. I've been looking at it thinking, well, you know, this is almost too good to be true. But really, that it comes down to that filing. And in all the opinions that I've heard everybody offer, I have not yet heard anybody rebut the filings. So what I would say to people out there who are speaking out against it, Tammy Peppermint and Winston Shroud and a lot of people, Franco Collins, and look, I love all these people's work, and I think we should all work together on this, because this could be something quite good. So with everything people are saying, what I'd like to see from all of these people is someone actually rebut the UCC filings, because that's ultimately what it's all about. And if this whole corporate system comes under UCC law and this filing stands unrebutted in UCC law, then it stands as law. And so that means that they've, you know, what Heather seems to have done is by using their tools, she has freed us from their law, should we choose to be free. You know, should we choose to be free? Those who still want to remain in the slavery system, it's there. I mean, you can do that. It's all about contractual agreement. If you want to continue to grant these people your jurisdiction, that's fine. But it can't hurt to ask the question that if you're going to exercise a right of ownership over me or claim that you can do commerce with me according to a system that exists under UCC law, then you sure as hell better rebut this filing that says because I'm alive, I'm only answerable to the Creator. Because if you can't rebut it, then you can't use that UCC system against me to extract money from me. That's kind of what I see in it. So, yeah, correct me if I'm wrong. And like I said, I'm not interested in the CVAX. I'm not interested in the $10 billion or whatever they're saying. Or whatever. I don't care. I just want to walk into the forest and build a house. You know, I want to be free of the system.
Mm.
And I want to have the tools to show that I'm free. Because I've kind of used this stuff anyway. If I've been in a position where I've had to stand in the power of my flesh, I've done so because I never understood why anybody could claim to have a right of ownership over me. And that's all I really see in this filing. I see that someone's done that for the world. And there's people saying, oh, she didn't get permission to be trustee for me. Who gives her the right to this and who gives her the right? Look, hey, if you're going to free yourself, if you're going to build an alternate society to free yourself, all you're doing is running away and hiding and allowing the world to be destroyed around you, and eventually you're going to be eaten up later. And I've often said that I don't want to rise from the pile. I want to take the pile with me. I don't want to rise from the ranks. I want to take the ranks with me. If there's one person enslaved, then I'm enslaved. And I don't want to go and build an alternate society. I want to fix this one. So what's the point of making a UCC filing or something like this, like what Heather's done, to free yourself if you don't bring the rest of the world with you? And if someone's going to complain about, well, I didn't say she had to be a trustee for me, and perhaps they're going to use this system to enslave me, well, how can they, unless they can rebut the original filing that says you're only answerable to the creator? Because if they're going to create anything, any law, any maxim, any guideline within the CVAC system or anything they're going to create that's going to affect you in a way you don't want to be affected, that they would have to rebut their original filing, which is unrebuttable because you are only answerable to the creator. So that's my opinion on it. And if you want to prove me wrong out there, anybody, and you say that I'm falling into some trap, well, hey, this has just been the way I've been living my life for the last 55 years and it's worked for me. Now I just see it as a UCC filing. And to me, that heart of it, that original filing, the filing that says you're answerable only to the creator, that's the important part. All the rest of it is irrelevant. It's all for people who need the nanny state. Eventually, I don't even think we'll need most of that, but none of it's set in stone anyway, I don't think. I mean, these are just ideas they're putting forward. So it'd be interesting to see where it all goes anyway.
Absolutely. I'll be honest with you, I'm still quite optimistic about the OPPT because the thing about what they've done, and as you said, the basic core principle of it, it just, on such a deep level, when I heard it, I can't ignore that spark that went off inside of me. It was a recognition of something, you know, and that I've always gone with, you know, that if I get that feeling, then I know it's something right, it's something good. That I think for now, it's going to take someone to actually go to court and use this. And to have the court actually somehow try and rebut it for it to fail. For me, I think now what they've done is given us very practical tools that we could potentially use. And very, very smart of them. It was, you know, how I think it's Heather's very intelligent with what she's done. And I feel sorry for people who can't see the beauty in what has happened. And I think there is a lot of fear-mongering that's been done by certain members of the alternative media that have probably got a lot of people into this particular state. And I see these people on forums, the same people going on about OPPT, going on about the Satanists, the paedophiles, you know, constantly. Yeah?
Well, it's programs. I mean, it's all programs people are running. I mean, to me, that's the core of it, is I'm only answerable to the creator.
Yeah.
It says that in this filing, and I've always known that. And so how can this OPPT system create any slavery mechanism for me if that filing stands unrebutted? That's the thing. That's the heart of the matter. So, you know, all the people, like I said, if you're out there and you're speaking out against it, see, what I've seen as well is a lot of people falling back into law. I heard Tammy Pepperman talking to someone the other day, and she ended up saying she fell back into it, yeah, but how would this stand with the Hague? What? The Hague's fiction. The Hague comes way, way, way below you and the Creator. So where does the Hague fit in between you and God? What's going on here? See, this is what I mean. I mean, people are falling back into legal fiction. Okay, fine, happy to go to the Hague. All you have to do is show me that the Hague has higher jurisdiction than what I perceive my Creator to be. Because the Hague comes under UCC law simply because it will fine people, it will take their life, it will use this thing. It's a commercial activity. So it all comes under UCC law. If it happens on the globe today and there's any financial exchange or any dollar value put on anything, then it comes under UCC law. So how does the Hague have any relevance at all to any of this? You know, so this is what I'm seeing with it. I mean, I think it's it has a possibility to be really big and to actually free us if people get involved in it. Now, I've heard people say, oh, this is a dragnet. Anybody who files these forms, it's a dragnet. Well, you don't have to file any forms. All you're doing is handing in courtesy notices and saying, hey, this filing stands unrebutted. If you are going to conduct business with me or you want to have, you know, issue a fine to me, you need to rebut this UCC filing. Because according to this, I'm not answerable to your system. Your system comes under UCC, does it not? So, therefore, this filing stands unrebutted under the UCC system you're attempting to use against me. So you please need to rebut this filing because I think I'm seeing that the playing field has changed. Happy to pay the fine, just rebut this filing for me. Give me a signed affidavit, you know, declaration signed proving that this is false. Happy to pay your fine. How can you go wrong from doing that? And if they can't rebut the filing, then, hey, guess what? You're free. You know, as long as you don't hurt anybody else, you don't cause any damage to anybody else or anything, you know, it's all good. You know, where's the problem with this? That's what I'm seeing. I mean, and, you know, when freedom comes, I've always said the shift that we're going to go through has got to be something that we participate in.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this gives us the means to participate in it if we choose to do so. And if a lot of people don't get involved and we don't bring this out into the mainstream and start having public meetings about it, well, it could well be used as a dragnet because the media will just spin it any way they want and people will get swept up and taken away and put in FEMA camps. It could absolutely do that. So there's a dangerous side to it as well. But ultimately, I can't see how anyone can rebut what this filing says. And that one filing, as I said, is the heart of the matter. And so that's what I'd like to see from all of the detractors. I'd like to see them rebut the actual filings, because in all the rhetoric and all the opinions, I have not seen anybody rebut the filings.
It's interesting you mentioned the Tammy Peppermint interview, because I did think it added, it creates quite good contrast to people who get it and people who don't. She's clearly someone who feels she needs someone's permission to be free.
Well, look, she's a very informed lady, and she knows about who filed what. She knows how the legal system works. She's a very informed lady, and 10 points to her. But we're understanding that it's all a commercial system. I mean, I'm not a lawyer, but I don't know if she is either. I don't know, but I'm not a lawyer. I mean, I'm just looking at it logically. I know I'm free. I know I'm answerable to my creator. I've been telling people this in films and radio for the last 5 or 6 years.
Mm.
And that's the way I live my life. And I'm 55. I've never voted. I've never paid taxes. I've never really been involved in the system at all. And I'm still free. So I must be doing something right. And I know I'm only answerable to the Creator. So I don't see why The Hague or anything has anything to do with it. So, I mean, God love Tammy Peppermint. She's done some great stuff. But I think there's a higher harmonic. And what I'd like to see is Tammy Peppermint and Winston Shrout and Franco Collins and all these people get together and actually see if they can rebut the filings. I mean, all I want to see from someone, okay, either rebut the filings or show me proof of claim that a unrebutted UCC filing does not become law under UCC, and that all these countries and all corporate and all business on this planet does not come under UCC law. That's the thing. It all comes under UCC law, and if you're saying it doesn't, well, show me proof of claim, and then, you know, you don't have to rebut Heather's filings then, because, and there's two ways you can rebut it. You can rebut Heather's filings that you're not answerable to the Creator, or you can show me proof of claim that all commerce on this planet does not come under UCC law, you know. So there's that, and there's the fact that an unrebutted filing stands as law, because that's what's claimed as well. It's hard for us to know this because we're not lawyers, we don't know UCC law. But if a claim is made in any legal system, in any type of law, if a claim is made and it stands unrebutted, then it must become law, mustn't it, really? You know, if I'm saying you that you're white, no, I'm a black woman, and you come forward and you're black, well, there you go, I've just seen proof of claim, the claim is now rebutted. You know what I'm saying? But if you hide in the shadows and just scream out, no, I'm black from the shadows, how do I know that you're black? I mean, you know what I'm saying? Just as an example. So it's that simple. You know, you've got to show proof of claim. And if they're claiming that this doesn't work, well, rebut the filing. You know, that's what I'm saying. I'd like to see everybody get together because this, you know, I'm seeing a lot of people as well. They've got vested interests, and I can understand this because they've done a lot of work. They've spent 20 years working out this system, or 20 years that. I mean, Franco Collins has done some fantastic work.
Yes.
And he's got his own canons. He's got a whole new system worked out, the UKDIA system. But because of that, he's also got a vested interest in the UKDIA system.
Uh-huh.
But what if this... filing freed us from all that? What if this filing gives us a chance to implement the UKDIA system? Why can't he be working with the people who are working on the CBACs? Why can't we all work together on this to see, okay, if this filing can't be rebutted and this whole system comes under UCC, well, let's all work together and work out the best system that's going to free humanity, because now we have the tools to do it. You know, there's a lot of people, I think, that want to be the one who saved the world. You know, they want to be the one. They want it their way. They want it this system. They're not prepared to look outside of the box that they've created for themselves, as knowledgeable as they are, and all due respect to all of these people. But let's bring it all together, because this could possibly work, because what I'm seeing from that original filing How can you rebut that? How can you rebut it? It's unrebuttable. And so it's been done by a UCC lawyer. There's people saying, oh, she's an attorney. She's got an oath to the bar. No, she cancelled a bar association. Oh, she cancelled a bar. She had an oath and she's got to swear other oaths. Why? They're just words. It's a spell. Yeah. Can't she just be who she wants to be and be who she is? Why does it have to be related to a spell, another oath? What is an oath? You know, what does this mean? You have, what, if you break your oath, you have to swear another oath to say that you broke your oath? What's this all about? It's rubbish. It's a spell.
Yeah.
It's a Vatican spell. It's a Roman spell. Forget it. It's word magic. All you have to do is be in your heart. So why can't we all come together on this? That's what I'd like to see. I'd like to see everybody really look at it. Put aside their agenda. Put aside everything they've done, all the work that they've done, and see if we cannot, at this time, this crucial time in history, bring about a real positive change by bringing it all together. Merge it all together. Bring it all together. Put down the division. Nobody, there is no one person who's right. With everything they're doing with the CVACs, who knows whether that's all right? You know, let's bring it all together and see what we can come up with. I think that this is an opportunity. All this division, I mean, if worse comes to worse, if this all turns out to be rubbish, I mean, the amount of public attention it's creating to the fact that we're all enslaved to a corporate UCC system is fantastic.
Yes.
You know, so the worst that's going to come of this is a huge amount of public awareness that the whole system is incredibly corrupt. So it can't hurt talking about this. It can't hurt bringing this to as much public attention as possible and bring it all together. That's what I want to see.
Absolutely. Oh, you know what, Max? I couldn't have said it better myself. Honestly, I really would like to see everybody working together on this, because I do think at the end of the day, really when it comes down to it, ultimately the true beauty of humanity is we all want the same thing. Really.
Well, we do. Everyone's scared about the New World Order. Oh, this is going to be the New World Order. This is going to be the New World Order. Every approach everybody takes, if it's about unity and freedom and equality for everybody, oh no, this is communist. This is the New World Order. Well, look, you know, we don't want the New World Order that the government is bringing us, that the powers that be want to usher. But we certainly don't want the Old World Order. And people seem to perceive any change to the old paradigm as the New World Order. To them, I mean, look what the old paradigm's done. It's brought us to this state of disrepair that we're currently in. What, people actually want this to stay the same? Of course they don't. We want change. We all want change. Alex Jones wants change. Everybody wants change. You know, it doesn't matter where you are on this whole thing. It doesn't matter if you're even screaming out fear. You still want change. Everybody wants change. You know, but they're not prepared to change from this old corrupt system which has brought us to this point. We do need a new world order, but it needs a new world order that's controlled by the people and brought about by the people. We don't even need order. We need a new world, whatever, but we need a new world. We certainly don't need to maintain what we've got. But we need to control where this new world is going to go. And so I think now is the time that we can bring it all together. But don't reject throwing aside this whole paradigm, because this whole paradigm is completely dysfunctional. It's enslaved everybody. It's created all this pollution, all this degradation. It's turned Earth into the state that it's in today. And it's not acceptable. So we need to cast aside that paradigm and we need to create a new one. That old paradigm was a corporate paradigm. This has now brought it to the attention of the people. If that is the worst thing it's done, it's brought it to the attention of the people. Even if it's all wrong and it won't work, well, it's still brought it to the attention of the people. But seeing as how it is a corporate system and it does function under UCC, I don't know how it can be a bad thing, you know. So,
yeah, for sure. Well, I look forward to what that might bring. Realistically, though, where do you see things going forward?
Where do I see things going forward? Yeah. Well, it comes down to us. It comes down to whether we want to embrace something new and change the paradigm, or whether we're just going to continue along the way we are. If we're going to continue along the way we are, we're going to fight every change at every turn. Then we're heading down a very, very bad path. I mean, the path of transhumanism, the path of Agenda 21, the dispossession of the first world, the transfer of wealth to the third world, and the disconnection of some of the last people that are still connected to reality, some of the last people that are still connected to the earth. You know, over the next 50 to 100 years, we'll see humankind merge with machines and completely get disconnected from the planet if we don't pay attention. But we have an opportunity to change it right now. But everyone's resisting the change. Everyone wants to stay in the old paradigm. So the choice is ours. I mean, it could go either way. You know, what we see, like with Agenda 21, see the way they do it, Mel, is they transfer wealth all around the planet. You know, like they build up society, like they build up the first world, and they've by building it up and getting us concentrating all of this superficial rubbish that they give us on television and fashion, and it's what you look like and it's what you wear and your social status and all the rubbish that they feed you through television. You know, we've been brutalized. Human consciousness has been absolutely brutalized in the first world. And the first world has now got a really, really superficial understanding of reality and a really, really superficial understanding of themselves. And even the relationships that people have, they've really, really messed up relations in the first world, where it's usually about lust now. It's very, very seldom do you see natural relationships developing with kids these days, you know. And so they build up this first world, and it's getting completely disconnected and living in this completely plastic matrix reality where all your relationships are messed up. They're all superficial. All what you believe is valuable is all superficial. And by creating this first world society, they impoverish the third world at the same time, because they go out there and they introduce a monetary system to them and they get them enslaved to this monetary system and they use it to milk all the resources to create the first world. And then you give the people in the third world mobile phones and televisions and stuff, and they see the first world from the perspective of the television, and they want it. So they start getting disconnected from their reality as well, disconnected from nature. They start thinking about superficial relationships. So what you do is then you crash the first world, you take all the wealth out of it, turn it into the fourth world, and you transfer it all to the third world and build them up into the first world. So over a period of two or three generations, they get completely disconnected from reality as well. They become like what the first world just was. Meanwhile, in the first world, you've turned it into the fourth world, but these people are so dependent on money, they think it's real, they think the system's real, that they'll go work in the mines. They'll go do anything you want them to do because they're so dependent on money that they'll do anything to collect the paper that they believe they need to feed their children. So you've completely disconnected them from nature, you've turned them into this, and then you can just, you know, transform them into whatever you want, you know. You can turn them into a complete slave race. You notice there's only chemtrails in the first world. There's no chemtrails in the third world, no chemtrails in China. It's all through Europe, all through America, England, Australia. Anywhere that's first world is all being sprayed with chemtrails as they're crashing the economies of these places and transferring all the wealth to the third world. And they do that right across the board, and eventually they disconnect everybody from nature, so we lose our connection to the planet, we lose our connection to ourselves, and we just become this huge worker race. And that's the way it's done. I might have got a bit off topic with all that. I don't know where
no,
it started. That's
an amazing analysis, actually, and very succinct. Well, I'm quite hopeful for the outlook of humanity, simply because I see people coming forward with stuff. Like, you know, having spoken with Heather and having really poked a bit around it, I guess her spiritual matter, if you want to put a finer point on it, I really do feel that she's got humanity's best intentions in heart. And whatever the OPPT is all about, I think, if anything, it is symbolic of what we can do if we just use our common sense. Because it is that is the thing no one, as you say, can seem from my point, from where we stand. From where you stand, I can't seem to, in any logical point of view, argue against that one point about, you know, ultimately we are answerable only to the Creator. And it's just so deeply ingrained in me that I just don't see how it's arguable.
Well, that's it. It's an unrebuttable claim, and it's a claim that's filed under UCC, and the entire system comes under UCC.
Yeah.
So that one claim, because it's filed within the system that's used to enslave us, means that system can't enslave us anymore unless it can rebut that claim, if we choose to question it on this filing.
Yeah.
Because, hey, if you're going to use that system against me, well, you, like I said, you sure as hell better be able to rebut this claim, because that's what it says.
Well, I'm inspired by these people. I really am. I'm inspired by people like Heather and people who are like yourself, who actually can see it for what it is and who are taking some form of action, whatever it is, even if it's just symbolic on paper. Yeah?
Well, yeah. And like I said, I mean, the worst it can do really is wake everybody up to this is the way it works. Mm. But, I mean, I can't see anybody, with all the opinions they've offered, I can't see anybody rebut that claim. And that is the basis of the whole system. So how can the system that has that as its core do anything to enslave me that I don't agree to? It can't.
So, I think it's because of people like that who are doing things. And I am so optimistic for the outlook of humanity. I really do think we've passed a precipice into a different time when things can be made better and we've been given the tools. And I'm excited. I feel like there's a new spark. For a long time I fought this, it really did feel like a bit of a battle in the alternative media, trying to get to people and constantly taking knocks from people who just totally didn't agree. The sacrifices, of trying to wake family up who didn't want to know. But I got to a certain point that really did come when I heard about, yes, we've finally been given tools by people who understand there are people out there who are doing things. And for that reason, I'm very optimistic. And I think right now the responsibility of people like you and me and Lisa Harrison is to try and bring these people together to work a solution as opposed to picking each other apart.
Yeah, we've got an opportunity now. It's brought it to the fore. I mean, everyone's talking about this, but it's all arguments for and against. Well, let's get everybody together at the same table and say, well, look, we all want to change things. How do we go about it? Because, we can't expect this system to do it. How do we empower the people? If we can't show the people out there, like your average Joe Friday who works in the suburbs and watches, the football and eats meat pies for dinner, if we can't convince this person that he's free and show him on paper that he's free, he's never going to feel free. He's never going to stand up to make any positive change. And if people don't do this, then it's going to be, we're heading for a very, very bad place. It'll mean the end of all freedom on this planet if we don't rein this system in. We've got to find a mechanism to do it. And this gives us the opportunity, even if everybody disagrees on it the way they are, it's still an opportunity because now all these people are talking. They might be arguing, but they're still talking. They're all communicating with each other. It's brought a lot of people onto the table together. It's brought a lot of people onto the same playing field.
Mm.
So now it's time to put them all together and to hammer it out and see what we can come up with. So we've got something we can all agree on. Imagine finding something that we all agree on when no one has an agenda. It isn't about your way being the right way. It's about something that works for everybody. Freedom and self-responsibility. When no one gets harmed, everybody is 100% accountable for their actions and accountable for themselves. That's what we need. And this gives us the opportunity to bring that about. If people can put down their egos and stop thinking that their way is the right way, we've all got a piece of the puzzle. Everybody's got a piece of the puzzle. So let's bring it all together and let's, instead of pointing the finger and calling the other guy the enemy, let's all get together and start working out what actually works and what actually doesn't, because we have a real opportunity here.
Beautifully put. Thanks, Max. I think we're going to finish it off. I've only got one last thing I wanted to ask you, and that is, do you have any one last final message for humanity?
Oh, look, I think everything I just said.
I know. You covered it pretty well.
Wake up to yourselves. It's all opportunity. All of these problems are opportunities. We've got to do something now, and what we've got to do more than anything is find ourselves. So don't let all the rhetoric get in the way. Don't fall prey to the word magic. Don't fall under the spells of all of this stuff. Don't fall under your own spell. And we often do that. We get to a point where our way is the only way and we find fault with everybody else. We're not prepared to think outside of our own box we create for ourselves. And we've got to put all of this aside. We all knew this was going to be a time of shift. It's just that everybody thought the shift was going to be what they thought it was going to look like. And I tell you, this whole OPPT thing, there's nothing like I thought it was going to look like. And all the arguments I've seen against it have all been falling back into war. They've all been falling back into word magic. They've all been falling back into programs, usually Roman programs, Vatican programs, Satan versus God programs, all this sort of stuff. All programs. These are all programs, all designed to divide people. Now, we've got an opportunity here. Everything is finally on the table, and this could be a mechanism that you could use to wake up Joe Public he can wake up to the fact that this makes sense. And if you can fault it, please make a rebuttal. You know, don't offer an opinion. Just make a rebuttal. I think half the people that we're hearing on this, they're not actually going and reading the filings. Go read the filings, and then if you can find a way of rebutting these filings, then rebut them. Mm. And if you can't, then show proof of claim that all commerce on this planet does not come under UCC, and that an unrebutted UCC filing stands as the law within the UCC system. Show me those two things. And if you can't, then let's all get together and work together on this and find a way to create a new paradigm. Because we can't go on with the old one. It doesn't work. And we can't let the ship of state just continue to sail along in the direction that it is, that it has been for so many years, while we sit here and argue amongst each other over different aspects of how we think the new paradigm should look. We have to realise that it's not going to look like any of us thought it would look like. It's going to be a creation, a manifestation of 7 billion different souls, 7 billion different minds and different perspectives of reality. So we've got to stop arguing amongst ourselves, and we've got to bring this all together, realise that our way is not the only way. We all have a piece of the puzzle, and it can work if we suddenly realise that we are all in this together and start living our lives in Latesh. That's my message to the world.
Beautiful. Thank you, Max. It's really been an honour and a privilege and a long overdue wait to get this interview with you. But I think all the timing is really good, and this will be a well-suited interview for what's going on at the moment. But I look forward to speaking to you again.
Well, it's been a pleasure to come on, Mel. Thank you for asking me on, and I'm sure we'll catch up again in the future.
Love to. All right, Max. Thanks a lot. Take care. Have a good evening.
I tell you too.
Cheers then. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.